And welcome, everybody. It's Very Average Gaming, and I'm Will Williams, and with me today is Joe Cotter. How you doing, buddy?
I'm wonderful. How you doing today?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. You know, it's been a crazy couple weeks now that Christmas season is here. I'm sure it's crazy for you, too. You know,
yeah,
at work.
This is definitely my busiest week of the year. So
finding, like, little time to do anything else but work and sleep.
What's that?
What, sleep? Or work?
No. Well, do other than those two things.
Well, yeah, I don't know. You know, it's just crazy, you know, this time of year. But yeah, we're almost there. What, five more days, six more days of work? And then Christmas is finally here?
I'm going to be working straight through Christmas until Christmas Day. And we're off for Christmas Day, but I'm going to be working this whole week. It's going to be a 7-day week for me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I got Monday off, and then tomorrow and Monday, because, you know, the post office is closed Sundays. Mm-hmm. And then I'm working through Christmas, too. So it's been like, you know, it's been brutal. But it'll get better once the season is over.
Hey, someone's got to deliver the parcels.
Hey, that is true. You know, can't put stuff under the tree if we don't deliver them. Hmm. It seems like people don't shop at stores anymore. So
stores, what are they?
Yeah, well,
mall. Who goes to a mall anymore?
I know. I think I went to a mall maybe a month ago, and there was like no one there, and I'm like, this is so weird. Like when I was growing up, like. Everyone shopped at the mall.
And half the stores are closed.
Yep, pretty much. You know, so today, so basically what we're going to do is we have a would you rather question about whether or not we would like to be stuck playing the Sega Genesis or the SNES for the rest of our life. We'll go over kind of the stuff we've been playing for the past week. It hasn't been that much, only because work has been brutally, brutally crazy. And then we're going to go over our top five Final Fantasy games that we put in our top five, only because Final Fantasy Crisis Core came out, Reunion. And, you know, it's kind of that's the prequel to the Final Fantasy VII, a little bit of story from the PSP, but we'll get into that later. And we'll start right now with, what would you rather be playing? Would you rather be playing your Sega Genesis or the SNES?
I would stick to the SNES.
All right.
You know, Star Fox, Mario Kart, you know, a lot of great games for that system.
Oh, it was a great, phenomenal system. It was 16-bit, so, you know, it was part of its time. There's a lot of hidden gems in that. Like, The Secret of Mana is a really good one.
I forgot about that game. That is a good game.
Yeah, you know, and I think there's a sequel to that, but I'm not sure. Kenny and Diane had the, say, SNES. They were big on Nintendo, and I had the Sega Genesis, so I would play a handful of games. Like, he had, like, Sports Jeopardy, and he had Secret of Mana, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past is another good one. Probably one
that
of the best Zeldas ever.
Yeah. Was that the one he was drawing the maps for?
That was the original Zelda.
Back
before they had strategy guides and back before they had the internet, him and Diane sat there on the final dungeon and they drew out a giant poster board map of what was in each room. Like, I guess like a makeshift strategy guide so that when they would go into it, they would know where to go. And, you know, he said it took them like two or three nights to run through it the first time. But, you know, they finally beat it. So, but he was the one, I think, that got me not into video games, but he was the adult in the room that loved to play video games when I was growing up.
He kind of supported your passion.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, he was the one that got me into Mike Tyson's Punch Out, which is now probably one of my top three games of all time. So, but yeah, but as much as he was big into Super Nintendo, and I loved playing Super Nintendo, I think I'd be playing the Genesis for the rest of my life. They have just a lot of my childhood memory games between Sonic and Toe Jam and Earl and Theme Park, and the list goes on and on for me. I played more Genesis than I can think of because those were my prime years of gaming. Plus, if you hook up the Sega CD to it, that leaves you with Double Switch and Night Trap and all these other crazy video type. Like it's like that genre of game was a really big thing for the Sega CD.
Yeah, it was a very versatile system.
The live video.
And it also had a great game library. I mean, for its time.
Oh yeah, it did. You know, I would prefer to play a system that is more geared towards today's world than the 16-bit generation, but. If I had stuck, Sega Genesis would be definitely mine. So with that, what have you been playing this week? This past week, what did you play?
Me and you played a little bit of Tiny Tina's Wonderlands. I've been playing a lot of Overwatch 2. And I've also been dabbling into a little bit of Kalisto Protocol.
Okay. Yeah, Tiny Tina's was fun. We had a good time with that. I mean, I think we got 3 hours in.
Mm-hmm.
We got through the whole first big mission, I guess.
Yeah, we beat the first real boss and all that stuff.
Yeah, and it was a good time. It was a little easier going through with two people than when I soloed it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a fun game.
I can see why. There's quite a bit of enemies.
There is. And, like, I'm one of those, like, guys that like to just, like, run and, like, go straight into the fire. I don't duck behind anything. And it doesn't fare you well in that type of game.
Especially in this one, I noticed it being out in the open seems to punish you a little more than some of the other Borderlands games.
I found that I died more in Borderlands 3 than I did in this one, but I don't know if it's because of the spell abilities is a little bit better than, like, I guess your grenades or whatever you would get on that button for Borderlands. But the game is awesome. The overworld part is great. I think it goes overlooked. That whole overworld map that you walk around.
Where it's like a game board.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I was very surprised by that little feature. That was actually neat.
And wait till you see how big it is. It's huge.
And it's nice because you can go into the tall grass and get the random encounters and stuff. Yeah.
Yep. And then as you progress, you start opening up the map, and it's pretty big. And then there's all these different runes and stuff that you can unlock, and it gives you special power-ups for you to tune your playing and stuff. It's just a really fun game, and the writing for it is amazing.
Yeah. Right now, I'm just using this one spell. I think it's called Calamity. And it drops like a giant iceberg on people. It's pretty awesome.
You know, and
I did it a couple times and you were like, what was that?
Yeah, no, it's cool. Like, and like I said, like the cast and the writing is awesome. Like there's Will Arnett is the main boss, and Wanda Sykes, Andy Samberg, you know, and obviously Tiny Tina. So
yeah, Ashley Birch.
Yeah. We've been having a lot of fun with it. And we'll continue probably playing it this week. This week might be a little bit rougher because we're not going to have as much time probably to even get on together, let alone alone. So we'll see how that goes.
We don't know if we're doing next week's episode. We may forego next week's episode.
Yeah, we might take a week off. I think taking a week off for the holidays is probably smart.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have one for New Year's, but we won't do one for Christmas. And what was I going to say? I'm saying a lot, but... Yeah. You told me that you started playing competitive in Overwatch. Competitive mode. You unlocked it finally.
It's fun, but if you don't have good team cohesion, you're going to get your butt whooped.
I think that's with any Overwatch game, though. Like, the original was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to be really good in the original Overwatch, and then once it blew up and became this giant phenomenon,
Not only that, but it went from six-man to five-man.
Yeah.
And so, like, every role is important in that game.
Yeah, that's true.
Especially losing the one toon. Like, your role just becomes that more important because that's one less sight line you're covering, or, you know, one less person watching your back, or, you know, all things, you know, one less person that can heal or play a tank, you know.
Yeah, no, but that's what they wanted. That's why they beta tested this and alpha tested this to see if the 5-on-5 was a better fit than the 6-on-6. And I agree. I played the 6-on-6 in Overwatch, and it was fun. And I played it probably for a good 2 months when it first released. I got the collector's edition. I was like really big into it. And then it became like this big phenomenon where like the professional gamers started getting involved, and then the serious gamers. And then it kind of lost its fun because it became too serious of a game where, like, these people were just, like, literally destroying you, you know, and there was no real matchmaking system at the time. So you just got kind of, like, put in there against people who were, like, way better than you, and it takes the fun out of it. Whereas number two, I think the matchmaking system, although I think it's your typical matchmaking system, I suppose... Like you said, because the roles are more important, you can hold your own based on the role you play, even if you're playing people that are much better than you.
Yeah. As long as your team works together, you can kind of get around that a little bit, because like, you know, if you focus on a guy that's, you know, really taking a toll on your team and you can whittle down his health and get him out of the fight for a little while, you can make progress.
Yeah, that is so true. Especially if you take out their tanks. Like if they have one or two tanks and you take them out.
It's either you take out the tanks or depending on what tank is being played, you know, you could always go after their back line.
That's true too.
So yeah, if you have a slow tank like Reinhardt that's on their cooldown for that charge he does, you can get behind him and he can't really do much about it because he's slow.
That's true. You know, and like you were saying, is like you have to play as a unit. I find that the matches that we've played where we get destroyed is because everyone just runs out and no one stays together. There's no adhesion. They all just do their own thing.
Or no one wants to play the healer.
Well, that's true too. But, you know, even when you have a healer.
I'm slowly trying to play the support roles and stuff. I've been working with Lucario. He's pretty good. I tried playing as Ana. I don't like her.
Okay.
And I was also playing that other chick that has the staff.
Oh, the staff, yeah.
She fires out the, I can't remember her name. She fires out the purple orb or the green orb. I can't remember what her name, the gold orb. I can't remember her name, though.
Yeah. You know, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know their names.
So, I'm trying to get better with the support roles, but, you know, I've never really been one for playing healers.
I've always
played more of the tank role.
Which
is why Sigma is probably my best character.
Yeah,
I'm also not bad with Orisa either.
You know, I was starting to get when I, you know, I haven't played this whole past week
because
I rage quit last week. I couldn't take it anymore. It's not so much the people we were playing against destroying us. It was just more of the people we were playing with didn't understand the concept of how to play Overwatch.
That and you were blaming the mouse and keyboard.
Oh, no, the mouse and keyboard versus the controller is the fact that they don't have aim assist on the controller is ridiculous. I'm sorry. You know, it really is. All these other games have aim assist on the controller. Why can't Overwatch? It's not that much of an advantage.
I guess they felt it to be too OP.
Yeah, right. Yeah, too OP to help us. All it does is move the cursor a little slower.
Mouse and keyboard players complain about aim assist to no end.
Yeah.
So that's probably what it was.
Of course it is, because the Overwatch community is more mouse and keyboard than it is controller. And when you're playing on a console, you're not really playing against people on your own. You can set it to only controller only. So, you know, unfortunately we play on PC, so we're kind of screwed with that regard. But that's all right. You know, how far did you get in Callisto Protocol?
About 3 hours in.
You're at 3 hours in? Okay.
Yeah, I just got the baton.
The beat stick.
I upgraded that once.
Okay.
To do more damage, and then I added a upgrade to my magazine from my pistol.
Oh, okay.
And that's pretty much where I'm at. And then I'm at this point where you have to unlock this door, but while you're waiting for it to unlock, you get waves of enemies at you.
It's pretty
tough. So I'm, you know, that's pretty much where I'm at right now.
All right. Yeah. I love the way that they do the upgrades where it's like a 3D printer type thing.
Yes.
I think that's super cool how they implemented that. And I'm getting the feel for the game. It's not as creepy and scary as I thought it was going to be, but it's gory as all.
Very gory, especially if one of the robot guards catches you.
And they announced, like, if you buy the season pass, it comes with the game plus version, but it also comes with more kill scenes. <That's> Newer awesome. Kill scenes. So it's pretty cool. Like, you know, you get killed by the same enemy a couple times and he kills you like three or four different ways, and it's gory as anything. It's crazy.
Yeah, or you open up a canister and a freaking giant worm jumps out.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that. The little tiny jump scares. But I've been playing a little bit of that. I have like a laundry list of games that I started. I dabbled a little bit in this, you know, as the dabbler, as you call me. That I've played this week. Obviously, we talked about the Tiny Tina we played. I played a little bit more Core Keeper. For whatever reason, my kids are really into watching me play that on my Steam Deck. I don't understand why. They're really into it. Nights is a new game I've been playing. It's a new indie game that's in early access. I've been playing on my Steam Deck, which it's kind of like a Hades clone. And it plays almost identical to Hades, and the unlockables are kind of like Hades, and it's a lot of fun. I don't have Hades for the Steam Deck. I have it on my Switch. So it's been a nice change of pace. The only downside is, for whatever reason, every once in a while, the frame rate drops to like 20 frames a second. And it's a game that's not that like demanding. So
could be just the Steam Deck.
It could be, but the Steam Deck handles so much stronger games without issue. So I don't know. Maybe I got to restart.
Could be a bug. It could be a bug. It could be anything.
Early access. So.
If it's in early access, it could be that.
You know. And then I started on my PS5 playing Astro's Playroom, which is such a fun game. It's free for the PlayStation 5. You could download it. It's basically a tutorial to show you all the new features of the DualSense controller. And I gotta say, they put a lot of time and energy into this game. Like it's pretty. I was surprised at how in depth it was. I only played one of the, like, there's like six worlds. I played the first one that I tried, and had me like tilting the controller and like you're moving your guy like this and back and up and having to like control him through the level. And
it's nice to have a game that does that, because I mean there's a lot of times where you're like playing the game anyway and you turn the controller because you think it's gonna do something.
Well, that was the big thing. I remember like watching my kids play Mario Kart. They would like they turn their whole. And even when I was a kid, I would do the same thing. And like, you turn your whole body to turn left and right with the controller. You know. So I've been playing that. I'm gonna try and platinum that because it seems like it's an easy platinum. And
I should come out with a new Mike Tyson game, so where you had to go.
I wish that they would come out with another Mike Tyson's Punch-Out game. Or just Punch-Out in general. It doesn't have to be Mike Tyson. Just Punch-Out.
Don Flamingo. That bum.
You know? But I'm going to try and platinum Astro's Playroom. I think I could do it. And then this way my claim to fame will be
Mothman
1966.
Oh, I mean, you've already got one.
Well, yeah. You know. I'm going to put it on my Twitter profile. Platinumed Mothman 1966.
It only took you 4 hours.
Yep, that's it. I sped through it. It wasn't that bad. And then I've been playing a little bit of Callisto Protocol, which is it's a fun game. We kind of talked a little bit about that already. And then the last one is my kids have been really big into wanting to play Fall Guys. So I set them up on their own accounts. You know, they're on two different systems. It was painstakingly hard because for whatever reason, there's all these hoops to jump through to get kids that are under the age of 13 accounts. And then, like, I did all the stuff that Epic wanted me to do originally, and then when trying to log in, they wouldn't let me log in. So I had to, like, create whole new emails and just tell them that my kids were 13 years old and shut off all the chat features because it was just too much of a hassle. So now they have their own controllers. They play on separate systems. So, like, my daughter has a purple PlayStation 5 controller. And she gets to play her Fall Guys on our PlayStation 5. And we created her own account on the PlayStation. So she's super excited about it. And then my son has a green Xbox controller. And he gets to play on the PC. Just because I can't, the way the room is set up, I can't have them playing on the Xbox and the PlayStation. Because the monitors and the TV are like right above each other. So it's kind of confusing for the two of them. But they love Fall Guys. I play with them a little bit. They'll ask me to help them out. Like, they'll try for like 2 minutes, and then they're like, "Can you help us?" And I try to run through the level and try to get them qualified, but it never works. It's too late. So, but they like it, because even if you lose, you kind of get a couple of the points to level your character up and unlock your colors and
you get different skins.
Yeah, the different skins and stuff, and that's all they want, you know. If they get a little better, I'll probably sign them up for the season pass so they can unlock a little bit more. But we'll see. It depends on if they play enough. Because it's only like, I think it's like $8 or $9. It's not a crazy expensive purchase. No. So, but that's pretty much been my gaming.
Yeah, I mean, the only other thing I've been playing is just a couple mobile games, but that's about it. Hill Climb Racing and then Slithero.
Yeah, you know, I haven't really played anything on the phone. Mr. Jump, I'm still trying to, I'm stuck on level 5. So it's annoying as heck, but, you know.
Candy Crush, I've pretty much given up on at this point.
Oh, there's too many levels, and they're impossible.
Some of them, yeah. I'm in like the 500s, and I can't.
Well, you know what it is they let you run through like 10 levels, and then they give you that like impossible level, so they hope you spend money.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my wife plays a ton of those, like, games on her phone, like, but it's not Candy Crush, but she plays like different versions of those match threes. And she's one of those people who, like, she'll sit on a level for like 2 months because she refuses to spend any money on it.
I'm the same way. What I'll do 90% of the time, what I'll do is I'll try to beat the level for like a week, and then I give up for a while. I stop playing for like a month,
and then they let you beat it.
I find if I come back, you know, I have better luck beating it.
Yeah, it's like the algorithm says, you know what, this guy, he's going to give up on the game if we don't let him win. I think that's definitely the case. The AI in these games is like insane and disgusting. So, but
because it's all RNG. I mean, if you don't get the right pieces to fall, you're not going to win.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to think five moves ahead. It's like chess.
Yeah,
you know, and it's tough. So, with that, Final Fantasy Crisis Core Final Fantasy VII Reunion came out, and it got mixed reviews. I think it's sitting at about an average of like a 7.7, 7.8. Some of the people liked it. Some of the people were like, "Eh, this is a, you know, an outdated game." In a sense, it's pretty much basically they just like remastered, a straight up remaster of the PSP game. The biggest difference is that there's actual voice acting in this. So like,
oh, awesome.
Yeah. So the characters, like, you know, when they talk as opposed to in the original, it was just during cutscenes. And I mean, that's pretty much it. It's if you ever played the original, which I don't know many people who had a PSP. So it's kind of like an anime style type of Final Fantasy prequel, and it's kind of a little cheesy, but it kind of explains the story ramping up to Final Fantasy VII, which was like the mother load of all Final Fantasies.
In a lot of people's books.
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's a good game. It's not a great game. It's a good game, and it's fun. And what's cool is it was designed for the PSP, so it was made like for portable, so you get like the side quests and stuff. It's like little areas, and you do the side quests in the areas, and they're like 10, 15 minutes a pop. So it's not like you're stuck with like having to play like an hour or two to get to a save spot or to get to the next section. And it's in chapter, so it's nice that way too. And it's probably about a 10-hour game. So anyone who's like, you know, if you're looking to play it, I would recommend waiting for it to just go on sale. A 10-hour game at a $50 price tag is a little too pricey for me.
Sales are always good.
Yeah, you know, so, but other than that, I haven't played the new one. I'm just going off based on what I've read on reviews. And because they finally came out with another Final Fantasy, I figured we would rank our top five Final Fantasy games each. And we'll just discuss why we put them in our top five and go from there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was definitely a lot of great games in that series. I mean, there are some of the greatest games ever made in this series.
Definitely. And then there's a lot of outlier games too. Like there's a lot of the games, you not just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, blah blah blah, the numbered games. There's a lot of those, like what's it called? Like an offshoot type of game. What is it called, like on a TV show when they
sequels or prequels?
No. Like I can't think of the word. It's when they take a different character and they make a whole new show about him.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of the name right now.
Okay. It's late, but all right.
Very late.
So we'll go into our top five games. Mm-hmm. If you want, you could start with your fifth. What's your fifth game?
Absolutely. My fifth, I'm going to go with the OG. The original Final Fantasy. Yes. I had a lot of memories playing that on the NES.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was the original, like, true RPG of that time. You know, I played that, Kenny and Diane, again, they were the ones that had that game. And they were like, oh, you guys can have it. We don't play it anymore. I wish they had. Well, it's not really that valuable. It's not one of the most valuable ones. And
the only way it's valuable is if you get it not open.
Yeah, or complete. Yeah, it has to be with the box and the booklet and the map. The map's the hard one because those maps ripped so easy. But I remember playing it, and when I was like, you know, when they let us like borrow it or keep it or whatever, I was probably like 7 or 8. Maybe, yeah, about 8, 9, yeah, I don't know, in that range. And it was a little confusing to figure stuff out because they don't hold your hand in that game. It's kind of like...
Not at all.
If you don't really read all the text, you don't know where to go, in a sense. And it took me a while to like figure it out, but then when I got a little older and could figure it out, I played through it, and it was a very tedious but good experience.
Yeah, the trick to Final Fantasy, the original, is you have to talk to everybody.
Yeah.
And that will help you get you to where you need to go, especially once you start getting into some of the cities and then the ship taking you to different places and
trying to
figure out what way to go. And yeah, it can be a little confusing the first couple times through the game. So
yeah, no, definitely.
And it's not as linear as some of the later Final Fantasies.
No, they started honing it in to make it more of a story-driven game, it became a little bit easier to navigate the games. So, but I understand why you put that on your fifth. Like, I mean, if you, without Final Fantasy I, there are no Final Fantasies. So it's...
It paved the way.
It paved the way for, you know, probably one of the top-selling series of all time in video games. My number five is Final Fantasy Theat Rhythm Curtain Call for the Nintendo 3DS. I mean, this game came out in 2014, and basically it's a... like a rock band type game with Final Fantasy music. But you don't need a special controller. You use everything with the stylus and the buttons. And you just have to time everything properly. And it's so relaxing because it's the Final Fantasy soundtracks from most of the games. I mean, they're coming out with a new version of it for the Switch in February, which is going to have like every Final Fantasy song on it.
Yeah, which for most of the Final Fantasies, the soundtracks were amazing.
Oh, they were. They were great. And, you know, it's a very relaxing game, and I enjoyed playing it very much so. And it was cool because you could unlock different characters and different songs as you played through it to level yourself up. And it was just fun. I used to play it on the train a lot, and it would just be like after a rough day at work, it would just be nice to pop my earbuds in and just kind of like...
chill.
Yep, just chill and play nice and easy and try to like get like the highest score possible. And yeah, I don't know, it was just a different type of rhythm game.
Plus, you know, anything to take your mind off the train ride.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 40 minutes of, you know, not hell, but it was nice. Better than driving.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
You know.
What was your commute when you finally moved down where you're at now? 72 miles or something?
So 75 miles one way, an hour and 20 minutes.
My God, dude.
Oh, it sucked. Oh, it sucked so bad. You know, but...
And it was, what, all Parkway, right?
All Parkway. But now I don't have to worry about that. Now I only got a 15-minute commute, so it's nice.
Yeah.
You know.
See, what you did the opposite. You went smaller commute. I went bigger commute.
Yeah. So... with number five out of the books, what's your number four game?
Number four is Final Fantasy 13.
Okay.
I think that's it's such a beautifully done Final Fantasy game. I love the combat system, the way it had the different, you could kind of switch your battle style on the fly. Like you could go with a healer and a tank and a Ravager, which is like their DPS, and then switch it up to two Ravagers. All on the fly. I mean, it's still like turn-based. Like you still have like the enemy does their attack, you do your attacks. But you can, you know, within turns you can switch over to your, even within a turn you can switch over to different attack styles.
Well, that's pretty cool. So like you could change your whole class, or like each class had like a set of like. So like, let's say you're the warrior.
You would either switch classes, or you would switch out characters.
Oh, you could switch out characters too.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah,
It had a lot
going on, but it really wasn't that complicated.
Yeah, Final Fantasy 13, I think, is the modern one that I haven't played. I played 15. The story was pretty cool. I just couldn't get into the whole gameplay because now it seems like all these RPGs out there are like real time action, and it's too much to like. Remember to do stuff like, oh, when he does this, if you hit trigger circle, you do a combo, and I'm like,
no, it's not that complicated. It's just basically like you had your Ravagers and then you had your stagger meter, and once you got this stagger meter up, you would like say if you were fighting an adamant, you would knock them off their feet for a little while, and then you could do bonus damage to them while they're staggered.
Oh, okay.
So stuff like that. But if you, depending on your class you played, like if you played as a Ravager, which is like the DPS character, okay, or the DPS class, you would build the meter faster
Oh, okay.
Or you like you had the Ravager. I can't remember what the other classes were called. That's just like the main one. You had, you know, Hope was your mainly your healer, and then you could switch back and forth between like the tank character and the healer, or 3 DPS, or a healer and 2 DPS, or a tank and 2 DPS, like, stuff like that.
That's
But you could change it like on the fly.
So yeah, so mid battle you could change it up, like so. If you felt like you were getting like beat, you could switch it up a little bit to try and get an edge.
Or like if you staggered an enemy, you switch to three Ravagers to, you know, do a ton of damage real quick.
Oh, okay.
Once they stood back up, that's when you brought your tank back in, and you know.
Yeah. No. It made the battle system more
interactive.
Yeah, that sounds like it would.
But it was like turn based, but it was like a more fluid version of turn based.
And that what console was that on? Was that for the 360 Xbox One?
I played that on PlayStation 4.
PS4? Oh, okay.
Either PlayStation 4 or 3. I can't remember which one.
Okay. Yeah, because I mean I haven't played 13. I played 12. I've played 15. 14 I didn't get into because it's MMO. But 13, for whatever reason, I don't know if it's just because.
Great story, and then the graphics were great.
I just didn't get into it. And usually I may not beat every Final Fantasy, but I try to play every Final Fantasy. So, I might have to take a look at that one.
The final boss could be a challenge too, especially if you weren't prepared and healed up, and he hit you with his one final attack he did called Final Judgment.
Okay.
He could one-shot your party.
Oh, wow.
And that was the only thing I didn't like about that game is like, if you're like, you know, like in older Final Fantasies, if your party leader went down, like you would switch to one of the other characters and you would keep the fight going.
Yeah.
In this one, if your party leader dies, you're done.
Oh, so he can't wipe the whole party. He just has to wipe the party leader.
Exactly.
That's interesting too, because most of them aren't that way.
No.
Usually you have the ability to like regen, like Phoenix down your party leader.
Exactly. But in this, if your party leader goes down, you're done.
Huh. I might have to take a look at that.
But I mean, it wasn't difficult to deal with. And then the other thing I liked about it is once you got through the first portion of the game, you got to like this little area that kind of opened up, and then you could race chocobos. And
oh, okay.
They had like all these like challenges and stuff you could do with fighting different enemies. Like
that's
you
cool.
had like you can challenge. 56 is go kill the little mini Cactuar, and then challenge 100 and whatever is go kill the big Cactuar and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. I have to see where that's like what's available to play that on. I might have to give it at least a go.
It was on Game Pass there very shortly, and I didn't realize it was there. I was gonna play it.
So it is on the Xbox. I'll have to take a look.
It was on Xbox. It was one of the games that came off Game Pass.
Yeah. So I'll see. Maybe it's on the PlayStation. I have to take a look. All right. So my number four game is Final Fantasy X. And this was a game I played this to completion. I played it to the end.
We played this together for hours.
And it was a lot of fun. The story was great. The characters were great. You know, Blitzball was great. Hard. But once you understood how to play it, it was fun.
And if you could draft some better players.
Well, yeah, that too. But and you needed to actually like know what you were doing because that's how you got Waka's ultimate weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's I know a lot of people probably regard this as probably the second best Final Fantasy in their books behind, you know, the infamous number 7. But I enjoyed it immensely. I played it a lot. This was that game where I would have my lunch break at Morazzo's, and I would like drive home the 10 minutes to play for 10 minutes to try and get closer to a save point to then drive back to work.
No autosave back then.
No autosave. And I was so nervous that like my dad or my stepmom or my sister would go in there like, oh, he left the TV on or the PlayStation on and turn it off on me. So I was paranoid.
That struggle was real.
Yeah, because you could play like for like 2.5-3 hours without a save spot, especially with those cutscenes, and there was no way to skip them back then either.
Yeah, and like, or you got to a spot where you beat a boss, and then you had to get to a save thing, and then if you lost power or whatever, you had to do the fight over again. And in that game, it had some tough boss fights.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, it was just. it's so much easier now. Like, I watch the games my kids play and, like, all the RPGs, and everyone, like, complains. And I'm like, you know, I think the biggest complaint, like, with autosave, though, is sometimes it autosaves, like, at the worst possible time. Like you have, like, no health left, and they're like, oh, we're going to autosave right before the boss. And you're like, come on, man. But...
Well, that was, like, grounded. Like, it was mainly autosaving in the game.
Yeah.
And then it would only give you, like, what was it? They gave you 10 manual saves. That's it.
That's it?
So once you use the 10 manual saves, I didn't realize that. Once you did 10 manual saves...
Yeah.
Then it was just autosave.
You couldn't overwrite your manual saves?
Mm-mm.
That's crazy.
You used up your 10 manual saves or whatever it said.
Well, at least they auto-saved, like, really? For you. You know, but now, like, they, you know, you got checkpoints, like, in platform games, there's checkpoints halfway through the level. I'm like, what is this? But, you know, they're making it easier. They want you to make sure that you can continue through the game. So, but
and then you had, like, a checkpoint, like, you had the bonfires in Dark Souls.
Yeah.
So, like, you would get to another a bonfire. So the trade-off was you got to the next checkpoint. But the problem was, is the trade-off to doing that, if you rested at a bonfire, it respawned all the enemies.
but that's a lot of games are like that.
So it was a give, but it was a give and take.
Yeah.
So, hey, you got to the next checkpoint. We're just going to put all these guys right back in your way.
Well, and in Dark Souls, those guys are tough.
God, I was,
you know,
Dark Souls for me is like your Skyrim.
Yeah, well, all right.
I had so many hours into that game, and then I had the freaking file corrupt. I was so pissed.
Oh, don't get me started on file corruption. What's your number three Final Fantasy?
My number three Final Fantasy is Final Fantasy VIII.
Okay, that's a good one. That's a good story.
It was an amazing game. Great story, fairly very dark for a Final Fantasy game, but a great story. The characters were amazing. You know, Cypher was great, Squall was great, Quistus was great, Gunblade. What else can I say?
Yeah, Zell. Right, Zell's in that one, right?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That was my introduction.
He was. I think Zell was the little fighter guy.
Yeah, with the fist weapons. That Final Fantasy was my introduction to the modern Final Fantasies. I didn't have a PlayStation. So Final Fantasy VII was not on my list of games to play, because back then, like, you know, now that I, you know, actually have a job, and back then I was in high school, telling my age. So it was up to my parents to really...
It is what it is.
Yeah, you know, like, the first console I bought with my own money was the PlayStation 2. So when I bought that, then it was backward, the backward compatible one, so I was able to start playing the old PlayStation games. And that's when I started playing 7 and 8. But 8 was the first one I got into because, you know, one of my friends had it for the PlayStation, and we would play it before and after school when I, you know, I was living with my mom. And I was like, this game is awesome. I never played 7, so I got into 8, and then 8 led me into finally getting into 7. And then 9, I was big onto 9, too.
You're just like playing as VB.
Vivi, yeah, right? And then obviously 10 on the PlayStation 2 was because it was the biggest. That was the big Final Fantasy for PlayStation 2. But I love the story for 8.
I love PlayStation 2. That was my favorite of the PlayStations.
Oh, definitely. I mean, well, it's the number one selling console of all time. So the only one that's got a shot, I think, is to pass it. The Switch might get to it. It might surpass it. But the story for Final Fantasy, it was a little dark.
Yes.
I know that most of them are a little dark, but this one was like real heartstring dark.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, the other ones definitely have their moments.
Yeah.
You know, 7 would hit with Sephiroth killing her and stuff like that. But I mean, it definitely, you know, first, you know, you know, Squall gets stabbed by a giant ice spike. that's like the first major thing that happens.
Yeah. You know, and it was good, and it set up, you know, it was like,
and then they brought in junctioning.
I didn't mind that at all. I think I'd like to cool because it was like it was the first time I think and like not pixelated, because obviously like the older ones like 6 and 5 were all on the Super Nintendo stuff, so they were pixeled.
Yeah. So
this was the first one where like the characters were like real people. Mm-hmm. 'Cause as much as
Let's, and the cutscenes are great.
Yeah, you know, Seven was like real people too, quote unquote, with Cloud in them, but they looked funky. Like,
yeah, they were like a little
Barrett
more cartoony.
Was like really big and cartoony, and you know, and everyone who was anyone had a crush on Tifa. But
that's okay. Anybody that had a crush on Tifa probably migrated over to Quistis.
You know, but where Eight was like, it was like real people, and then Nine they went back to the cartoonish. And then 10, they went back to, like, real people.
Well, I mean, just the opening fight scene between Cypher and Squall.
Yeah, it was great.
Like, you knew the game was going to be dark just off of that fight scene.
You know, and then you find out that they all, like, somewhat grew up together when they were younger and they didn't know it. And at the orphanage, and it's just really dark and...
Yeah.
You know, but it, you know, it worked out. It
was and then you had the Guardian forces, and that made it even good. They were so good. Doom Train
and the cutscenes for them were so cool at the time. Oh man, yeah, Ifrit, Shiva, Quasicodal, Cactuar, Toneberry, Doom Train.
Who's the two little Minotaur dudes?
Oh, yeah, the sisters.
You had the little one and the big one.
Yeah,
and
I know you're talking about.
If you use one of them, it could randomly one-shot anything you were fighting.
Yep. You know, oh. And then you had Odin.
Odin. And then you had the...
Cerebus.
And then you had to tap the button to boost their attack.
I could tap that button. Like, I got bullet up to like 100. You know, back when people used to tap the button with their thumb. Not now with this cheap finger and rolling stuff. Would it?
Who does that anymore?
Yeah.
But no, it was a fantastic game for its time, and I loved playing it.
Oh, definitely. It was definitely up there.
Once you got past the whole learning curve with the junctioning, it actually made a lot of sense once you learned to attach it to the Aeons and boost attack or defense or whatever you were doing.
Yeah. No, definitely. It was fun.
What's your number three?
My number three is Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles for the GameCube. It was a game that, like, it's highly regarded, but it doesn't get its love because it's on the game. It was on the GameCube. And the GameCube was probably the worst-selling console of that generation.
Yeah.
You know, I think PlayStation 2 was 1, Xbox was... Oh, yeah, PlayStation 2 was 1, Xbox was 2, GameCube was 3. And they remastered it or remade it, whatever you want to, probably, I think it's a remaster for the Switch. And it's good, but the online, what stinks is, like, when you play online with people, if you, let's say I join your game, I don't get credit for anything we do. You get credit for everything we do, but I don't. I get to keep the items, the gold, and that kind of stuff, but, like, my progress in my game doesn't count. So if we're on the same mission... And we beat it, but on your game, only you get to complete it.
I mean, I get that. It's probably the limitations of the console.
Well, I'm talking about the Switch, though.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the online.
Well, it was originally came out on the GameCube, yes. But they remastered for the Switch, and the Switch still has that, like, not a glitch, but, like, that antiquated ability that you can't, like, join in. And complete the mission together.
See, they should have upgraded that.
So, but back then it was a game that, you know, it was highly regarded. It was a lot of fun. It probably goes down as one of the better Final Fantasy games.
Would you say that the GameCube is probably their worst system?
No, the Wii U is their worst system by far. I loved the Wii U.
By sales or by?
Just in general.
Functionality.
Probably both. The Wii U was basically a prototype to see how well people would regard the handheld tablet. Okay. Because basically, if you think about it, the Switch is basically the Wii U tablet, just a more fluid version of it and a more powerful version.
With a better setup for the controller.
Yeah, because with the Wii U, the whole tablet was an awesome concept. And when I played my Wii U, I played only on the tablet. Like, it was hooked up to the TV because it had to be. But the only problem, you could only go so far before you lost signal because you had to be near the console.
Okay.
But I would watch Netflix on that. I would play games on that. And it was cool because someone else could use the TV to play or watch TV, and you could play on it, you know, in the same room, which is pretty cool. But it was a big failure. They didn't get a lot of third-party support. At least the GameCube had decent third-party support. And they didn't sell a lot of units, like 113 million. No, I think 13 million or 30 million, whatever. It's a very low number sold.
For Nintendo, anyway.
For Nintendo, yeah. So the GameCube sold a lot more, and I don't know. Eh. That wasn't their worst. I would say it was their second worst console, the GameCube. And it was just because they didn't implement it right. But yet, some of the best Mario games came out of the GameCube generation. So
it was a give and a take.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the controller was funky. I mean, Smash Brothers Melee was in the GameCube.
Yeah, I mean, how many hours did we have playing that?
Oh, jeez. You know, and they had, like, the Mario Party games. Like, there were a lot of fun games for the GameCube. It was just, you couldn't compete with the PlayStation 2. That is all, you know. So, but yeah, Crystal Chronicles for the GameCube, I would recommend it if you have a GameCube or a Switch.
Awesome. All right, so my number two, yeah. And this is a controversial one. I am going to go with Final Fantasy VII.
Oh, that's okay.
This for a lot of people is their number one. I personally have it at my number two.
It's my number
It was an amazing game. It, you know, the battles in the game were tough. Once you unlock some of the secret characters and stuff to fight, and you got the different what the heck was that stuff called? The materia. You know, you got the final materia and stuff like that to be able to get your final attack and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the greatest villains in history.
Oh, that one, yeah, definitely. Like,
yeah, Sephiroth. I mean, he's an iconic villain even to this day. I mean, he was even in, what was it, Kingdom Hearts 2?
Yeah.
As one of the arena bosses. And you know,
it's
one of the toughest boss fights ever.
Yeah, 7 is my number 2, too. 2-2. But I think it's a great story. It's probably the best all-around, full-fledged story in Final Fantasy. You know, just the way they did it from beginning, middle to end, it's just, in my opinion, the best story. It's the game that transitioned Final Fantasy to the way it is today. I think
without a doubt.
Yeah, without Final Fantasy VII being regarded and received so well, I don't think that you have Final Fantasies the way they are today. I think that paved the way for this newer generation of games we're getting with stories and everything else.
No, not at all. And at the time, when they realized what they had with Final Fantasy VII, that's how 8 came about, because they were like, all right, this game was a complete and utter total success. How do we keep this going? And they threw everything they had at 8 to make it another amazing game.
And it was. And
yeah.
What I think back then it was Squaresoft, it wasn't Square Enix. I think I like the approach they took, where each Final Fantasy is like a different story with different characters. Like, they didn't try to progress, other than X2, and there was 2 with Lightning.
It was Lightning, and then Lightning Returns.
Yeah.
That was 13, and then 13-2.
Okay. And I think, you know, that ability to just, it's a whole different story every time you play, makes it a lot easier to jump into a series. Because you don't have to worry about what happened before, you know. And they were smart by doing that, because they could have just tried to do a continuation story of Final Fantasy VII after it did so well.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because back then, it didn't take as long and it didn't cost as much money to produce games.
No, it just required a lot of discs.
Yeah, well, you know, but
Final Fantasy VIII, I think, was 4 discs.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, nowadays it takes like 3 or 4 years. Like, these games are planned 3 or 4 years in advance. Whereas back then it took like a year, year and a half. So I'm just kind of glad they kept that going with different stories with different characters.
Absolutely. And yeah. I like how every game has its own story. It keeps it fresh.
That's exactly right. And like I said, it allows you to jump in. Like, you could play 8 without playing 1 through 7. Because it doesn't matter. You're starting from scratch.
I wish they would do like a Final Fantasy All-Stars where they pull all the most popular characters together.
Yeah.
Like for a Final Fantasy, that would be cool.
I'm surprised. I mean, and I don't think it would do well, but I'm surprised they haven't done like a Final Fantasy fighting game. There's enough characters.
Oh, without yeah. You figure you got what, 6 to 8 characters in every Final Fantasy?
Yeah. And only one of them has made it its way to Smash Brothers. I mean, Cloud is in Smash Brothers. Mm-hmm. And then in Brawl with
us. Sephiroth is too.
Ultimate. What?
Sephiroth is too.
Yeah.
He's in the new one.
So, but
whatever, I can't remember what the new one's called.
Super Smash Brothers
Ultimate.
Yeah.
Super. We played it a little bit.
Yeah, I
and then we went online and got our butts whooped.
Yeah, I enjoyed the game. It's just the AI in that is really tough. Like when you're trying to unlock all the spirits and stuff, like there's a lot of unlockables in that.
Well, you know what you do in that case, right?
What?
You just set up an AI tournament and just watch it.
For 8 hours, you just sit there and watch the matches. Hey,
under your oven light because it gives off the least amount of electricity.
I use two types of lights in my apartment, the oven light and my television.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. But the crazy thing with that is, and if no one knows what we're talking about, my cousin used to sit there and like AI tournament, Super Smash Brothers. Was it Melee? Yeah, Melee.
I think Melee, yeah.
And he would watch, and it's not that he just simulate it and see who won. He would literally sit there with like a bowl of popcorn and watch the computer play these matches.
And he would keep statistics on it.
and he came to the conclusion that out of all of the players at level 9, Fox was the number one player, was the number one character. And that. But enough of that, we could do a whole nother episode on just that, just that weirdness.
Right.
You know, we'll do like a weirdness episode of all like the weirdness stuff that we've done in gaming.
All right. Well, since our number twos are both the same,
yes,
I'll just get into my number one.
Okay.
My number one Final Fantasy game of all time is Final Fantasy X.
Okay.
Without a doubt,
a good one.
Without a doubt. There was so much to do in that game.
Yeah.
Between the arena and doing all the challenges to try to upgrade all the ultimate weapons and Blitzball and, you know, all the different characters and their quirky little own stories that they had going. It was an amazing game. I loved every minute of it. The design of the airship looked awesome.
Yeah. Oh yeah, well, like, we touched base on this. Like, it was on my list earlier, so we you can't complain about the game. The game was done perfectly for the PlayStation 2,
mm-hmm.
and it was well received.
PlayStation 2 to its limits.
Yeah, it definitely did, and it's I can't argue anybody putting it as their number one or their number two. Whereas I think my number one is going to be very controversial amongst people. Since it's not 7 or 10.
I think everybody has their own opinion. So
of course. My number one Final Fantasy game of all time, to me, is the original Final Fantasy Tactics. And I just love the game because I was a huge like Dungeons & Dragons player when I was younger. Like, uh-huh. So big that like I would force my sister and cousins to kind of like play with me, and I would like write out my own like adventures and have them, you know, go through it. And I was like the dungeon master. And Final Fantasy Tactics reminded me a lot of that when it came out because it's you're playing on a board for, you know, and what appealed to me was the fact that there's over 50 classes of characters from archers to elves to God knows what else. And
that's the one thing none of the other Final Fantasies can even hold a candle to.
Yeah, is the amount of classes. And I remember the strategy guide being like 2 to 3 inches thick and like just pouring over it to learn like what classes are best for this and what classes are best for that. The game was a little tough, but it was fun. And it reminded me a lot of the Dungeons & Dragons. And that is why I just fell in love with that game.
It was tough but fair.
Yeah. You know, and
I mean, honestly, now that you bring up tactics, I mean, I honestly, before we even made these lists, I honestly had even completely forgotten about that one.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody would argue with that being your number one pick. I mean, it is a great game.
Especially because that genre of game is, I prefer it over the normal RPG. So I think that's why it holds such a big part up on my list. Whereas all the other Final Fantasies are your typical JRPG, where it's turn-based and you just attack, spell, item, you know, the normal cut-and-dry type of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, I know I'm going to catch some flack for that. A lot of people are going to be like, oh, do you not have 7 or 10 up there? And, you know, they're on my list. They're just not my number one game. I didn't put the most hours into that. I put over 100 to 200 hours in Tactics easily. You know? So with that, that's our top five list. And, you know, so what are you thinking with this crazy week coming on? I know I said I agree. I think we're going to take 1 week off just for the holidays. Because it's going to be too crazy trying to squeeze in a podcast with everything else going on. But what do you think, if you had any free time this week, what are you going to be playing?
I'm going to try and squeeze in a little more Callisto Protocol.
Okay.
I definitely need to progress that game. I've been procrastinating about it. I need to get back on that grind.
Yeah.
Definitely some more Overwatch. And then I'm going to take a look and see what other new games and stuff are coming out. Maybe I'll grab a new game or play some Diablo or I don't know. True. We'll see.
I'm gonna look through the Game Pass. I haven't looked through the Game Pass in a while, so I'm probably gonna dabble into that.
I tend to stick with a couple games.
Yeah, well, you yeah.
Until pretty much like I'm the type of gamer where I'll play a game until I get tired of it.
Well, yeah,
and then I'll move on to something else.
Well, see, what I do is I pick a game to play on my Steam Deck, I pick a game to play on my Switch, I pick a game to play on my PlayStation. I pick a game to play on my PC, and then I pick a game to play on the Xbox. And those are my 7 choices. And then depending on what mood I'm in, like I'll pick up my Steam Deck and I'll play the one game. Like right now, the game I'm playing the most on my Steam Deck is Core Keeper. The game right now on my PS5 I'm playing the most is Callisto Protocol. On PC is Overwatch, which I haven't really touched. Xbox, I haven't touched the Xbox in a while, so I'm going to start going through the Game Pass just to see what's out there.
You've been rage quitted for 2 weeks.
Yeah, no, I'll get back into it. I need some time to sell, play some other stuff. But I think I'm going to try to start killing my backlog of PS5 games. I started a bunch of them, like when I first got it, and like Returnal.
What's that other game you've been playing too?
Which one?
With the weird name.
Vampire Survivors?
No, the other one.
What weird name?
It's got that weird, funny name. I can't remember it.
Oh, Brotato?
Brotato.
Brotato's fun. Name. It's like Vampire Survivors.
It's the greatest name ever.
You know, he's a Brotato. He's a potato with guns. That's what a Brotato is. But yes, yeah, so I'm going to get back and play some Returnal, I think I might try to get back into. I want to play Sackboy's Big Adventure. I'm about like 75% through that game. So I think I think it's time to just finish it off. I'm done buying new games, so I'm going to start trying to play what I have because I have enough to go through. Yeah, I know, the whole list. I know, the whole wall in the back there. So most of it's Switch games, and most of them are shovelware games, but they're fun. It's fun to collect a Switch.
I definitely think our lists are both great.
Yeah, and I agree.
I think, you know, every one of those games could be anyone's top, you know, number one pick.
Yeah, I agree. You know, so, but it's pretty much.
We both played Final Fantasy XI, but I mean, we're not going to talk about all that.
No, I'm not getting into Final Fantasy XI. That game could. There's a reason why it's no longer available to like play online.
Yeah, because it was just too hard.
Yeah, it was just a crazy, you know, crazy game. You know, I might play some Fall Guys with the kids this week. We'll see. After Christmas is going to be a fun week because the kids are off.
Man, I might get bored and throw on some Minecraft.
There you go. You can build your town, your temple, your pyramid, whatever you're building.
A little bit of this, a little bit of that.
That's right. So with that, I would say that we're going to call this an episode.
Absolutely. Everybody have a Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Happy Holidays, whatever you decide to celebrate, have a great one, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yep. Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy New Year and very, very happy holidays.